After 8:30 on Wednesday, it is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Today we have one topic with a lot of little parts to it, and that is the results of primary elections on the Oregon side, or if you're on the California side and want to talk about the upcoming elections there, please join this discussion. Let us know what you think about what happened or what you think will happen, either in the California primary or the November election. Our numbers, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Some of the people who supported the Jackson County GMO ban may be still in bed because they were up late celebrating last night. The Jackson County GMO ban passed by about a 2-to-1 margin. 66% of voters voted yes to ban genetically modified crops within Jackson County limits. And 33% voted no. That's among the topics that won big last night. The Josephine County GMO ban also ended up on top. We have a governor matchup that we expected in Oregon with John Kitzhaber versus Dennis Richardson. Dennis Richardson from Southern Oregon, from Central Point, will be the Republican candidate for governor in Oregon. Jeff Merkley, the incumbent U.S. senator, will face Republican Monica Webby. Webby won the Republican primary. Greg Walden versus Ilea Christofferson in Congressional District 2. Greg Walden beating back Dennis Linthicum, the Klamath County commissioner, to hold on to his nomination for the GOP run for re-election to Congressional District 2. Peter DeFazio and Art Robinson again in Congressional District 4. Lots to talk about with the results of this election and the elections to come. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Back in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. You can find us not just on the radio, but also online at jeffexchange.org with program topics, recordings, and a look ahead to future editions of the Jefferson Exchange. You can also find us on Facebook with similar information to what you find on ijpr.org. And social media goodies like some videos and pictures and all the other things you expect from Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, we end up on your news feed. We also maintain a Twitter feed at Jeff Exchange. So jeffexchange.org, Facebook and Twitter, all places to find us online. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. It's all elections today. Oregon just finished or is in the process of finishing its primary election with a lot of interesting results, including the passage of the GMO ban in Jackson and Josephine counties, two separate measures there, but both went up to victories last night in the voting in this election. You can also talk about California's election coming up in 2 weeks or cast your eyes ahead to the November election in either state. For example, in the Oregon governor's race, John Kitzhaber versus Dennis Richardson, you would think that in a state with as many more Democrats as there are Republicans, John Kitzhaber should cruise to re-election. This would be his fourth term. But then there's the whole Cover Oregon thing, which is likely to be a very big factor. So talk about the things that affected you when you were making your decisions and how to vote, and the ways in which you might make your decisions to vote in November down the road. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's get your venting on election results. 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Pam and Dexter, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, I was really watching and actually worked on Kevin Matthews' campaign to out Faye Stewart, East Lane County Commissioner, and also Don Leslie to get out Jay Bozovich. Both of them are really close. I think Faye Stewart has like 34 votes over the 50%, so there won't be a runoff, but it's still too close to call.
It's very close. I'm looking at it right now. She's got 50.25%, which, yes, would be enough to avoid a runoff.
Yeah. So my thing is, business as usual has got to stop, and Faye Stewart and Jay Bozovich are on the Association of ONC Counties. They're pushing for that ONC bill to clear cut 1.6 million acres, and our planet can't handle this kind of behavior anymore. And I keep thinking of this puppet. I got to go to Zuccotti Park during the Occupy movement, and there was this giant puppet that said, "Fossil fools. Global warning, there are no jobs on a dead planet." And my opinion, that's where we're headed. And we need to wake up and elect people who are really, because Kevin and both Don wanted to work on climate change, and the county has no plans to prepare and mitigate climate change. So that's my focus. But I'm really glad about the GMO in Josephine County, and I'm also working on the collecting signatures for labeling for all of Oregon. The petitions just went out last week. So
GMO labeling as well.
Yeah, for the state.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned the issue. Did you have any issues with Sid Lyken, who also was an incumbent commissioner in position two?
Yeah, he's one of the, you know, he's one of the pro-ONC bill guys, but his challengers didn't have a chance. They didn't raise enough money. They didn't get in the game soon enough. So I was really focusing on Jay Bozovich and Faye Stewart because Pete Sorensen, he's of like mind, and he's very balanced about environmental issues, whereas all the other guys are basically working for the resource and developers. And, you know, despite, you know, the carbon butte issue and Dexter was really big for Faye Stewart because he, from the, and I was working with that group, from the word go, he was on their side. He did not try to help us at all, even though 200 people lived right near that gravel mine that was dormant for 40 years. So it was really disappointing. But I haven't given up yet because it is really still too close to call. But I just wish more people voted, too. A lot of people didn't vote.
Yeah, let me see what the turnout was in Lane County. The total number for voter turnout, oh, wow, not even 30%.
Yeah.
In Lane County.
People got to participate and get educated, you know. I mean, you guys say on your show all the time, an informed citizenry is essential to a democracy, a working democracy. And if people don't know what's going on and they just let a few people run the show, then, you know, we're headed in the direction of the rich get richer and the earth is suffering because of it. So that's my two cents.
All right. Thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you on Vents Day. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on the results of yesterday's Oregon primaries. Lots of individual races and measures up for votes. Quite a few surprises, including the ease with which the GMO ban passed in Jackson County. It was a 2-1 margin in Jackson County. And when you talk about the difference in turnout for the two counties, Lane County, yeah, just barely scrapes 30%. With its voter turnout, Jackson County was well above 40, and that'll probably end up heading further north going on here. Obviously motivated voters in Jackson County and a very strong ground campaign to bring out votes both for GMO and for the library levy. Not the library levy, sorry, library district creation in Jackson County. That passed fairly easily, 54-46 or 50, yeah, I think it was 54-46 was the last number I saw. But Jackson County then will put its libraries into a separate district, separate from the county government and with its own taxation power, separate from the county and its own board of directors, separate from the county commissioners. So that passed in Jackson County. The extension service won by a 3-1 margin in Jackson County, 75% to 25%, to create a similar district to the library district, but a separate extension service district, which will make sure that money keeps coming into the extension service and keep that funded in Jackson County. Across the line in Josephine County, the jail levy lost narrowly, but about 52-48%. Now, the numbers we have in front of us, let me double check those. I have them open in front of me. So Josephine County's numbers, jail and youth services levy, about 53% no to 47% yes. So not as close as last time. Conversely, though, votes to provide funding for the animal shelter passed easily. That was about 62% of the people voting yes for animal shelter, but now the shelter to keep the humans who've committed crimes or awaiting trial, that didn't pass. There's an advisory vote in Josephine County as well on timber salvage and replanting about whether there should be, it's an advisory vote. It doesn't have any really binding legal power. 89% of the folks in Josephine County voted yes on there should be timber salvage and replanting after fires. So that was a big vote in Josephine County. What are your thoughts about this election? Let's hear them here on Vents Day. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vents Day.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to make a comment on a governor's race, but I wanted to tell you that no matter how hard you guys try to depress me, it's not going to happen. I mean, we had two shows. The first one was we're going to come to the end of the world because all the financial people are going to rip us off and there's not going to be any left. And then the second day it was the end of the world because of the climate. So,
well, I think in both cases that you can interpret that as we were trying to get across the point that the world was ending, or we're just trying to find out what we can do to avoid that from happening.
Okay. Well, I'm not depressed, so I'm
good. Good. Glad to hear it. So the governor's race is on your mind today.
Yeah, so you said something that piqued my interest. You said that you thought the governor's race might be close because of Oregon health care plan.
Cover Oregon, yes.
Yeah. I don't quite understand why that would even... I think that's a losing argument for a Republican to take on.
Why?
Well, what can he say, or she? Their only thing that they can say that would make Republicans happy is that they're going to repeal it or do away with it or whatever. And Oregonians are not going to go for that. We finally have a health care plan. And even if you're a Republican, you still need health care. And I guarantee you there's a lot of Republicans that have signed up for Cover Oregon.
But if you listen carefully to what Dennis Richardson has been saying so far, and clearly intends to continue saying now that he is the Republican candidate for governor of Oregon, it's not so much about health care itself as about the whole debacle with the Cover Oregon website, the $245 million spent for a website that ultimately is about to be closed down. And the fact that when people kept coming to Governor Kitzhaber and saying, okay, what happened to you? He said, well, I really wasn't being informed that well by the managers in charge of the process. That is something that a candidate certainly can take the town against an incumbent and say, how detached are you from the process of governing the state of Oregon? And that's clearly what he intends to do.
Well, but what I would say if I was a governor, I'd say, well, you know, Cover Oregon's actually been a roaring success. We signed up way more people than we thought we were going to, than we projected. We've got more people in Oregon on health care than ever in the history of the state. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of really positive things that he can say, and I don't think it's that hard to say that while the website didn't turn out the way they wanted, it was really not a problem as far as Cover Oregon went. And also I don't think it's hard to say that it didn't matter. We're not going to lose any money. We're going to get our money back, and I think he'll say that.
Well, we shall see, you know. And the other reason I would say that there's a danger of Kitzhaber having a close race is because he had a very close race when he ran for this term. He won by, I think, fewer than 50,000 votes altogether.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I just don't think, I don't even think Democrats like Kitzhaber, but I don't think that Democrats are going to vote to put in a Republican at this time. I just don't think they're going to do it. It may be a close race, but there is no such thing as independence. They've solved that problem. Everybody knows that they used to say the swing voter. Well, there is no swing voter. Everybody really is either going to vote liberal or conservative, one or the other. And so they know how to focus on the people that are going to vote and how to get out to vote. I just think Kitzhaber has a way, way better chance of getting reelected than a new guy has a chance of getting elected.
Well, we shall see. He certainly has three terms of experience behind him, which is something that Dennis Richardson does not have as a member of the Oregon House. Dennis, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today on Vents Day. This is our Election Day Vents Day. We're talking about the results of yesterday's primary elections in Oregon, or you can cast your look ahead to the coming primary in a day under 2 weeks in California. June 3rd is the election date there. Or talk about the prospects for November, as we were just talking about with Dennis. Now that John Kitzhaber, for example, faces Dennis Richardson for the governorship, Jeff Merkley faces Monica Webby for the U.S. Senate seat, which Merkley is now finishing his first term in. Greg Walden defeated Dennis Linthicum. He'll be running again for Congress in U.S. House District 2. Ilea Christopherson, a virtual political unknown, will be the Democratic opponent he'll face. And in House District 4, Eugene, Springfield, Douglas County, and the coast, and parts of Josephine County as well. It'll be a rematch again between Peter DeFazio, the Democrat incumbent serving since the late 80s, and Art Robinson, who is also the chair of the Oregon Republicans. What do you think about what happened in the election? GMO measures, members of Congress, governor races, let's hear it. All of it there on the table for your perusal and pleasure at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782. by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Patricia Ann in Eureka emailed to say, I congratulate Jackson and Josephine counties on their passage of GMO crop bans. May they be the early ones in Oregon and California. Well, they could well be the only ones. Don't forget the Oregon legislature did pass a bill saying counties can't pass GMO crop bans, except for Jackson counties, which was already on the way to the ballot, which obviously calls into question what the fate of Josephine County's measure will be, because Josephine County was not grandfathered in that same legislative bill. So GMO crop bans passing in Jackson and Josephine counties. Will there be a lawsuit? Nobody was saying last night, but we'll certainly have to wait and see on that one. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking elections.
Jeff, I had to save my concession speech for the Jefferson Daily. I was so irritated at the decisions being handed down by the Court of Appeals that I conducted a grassroots write-in campaign for all three of the unopposed positions that were up at the Court of Appeals and lost handily. So I admit it, I am a three-time loser, but I tried.
Well, at least it was three times all at once, right?
That's right. On the serious note, on these unopposed positions, and particularly in the judiciary, big money has finally decided that the courts really are the bulwark of our traditions and the bulwark of our democracy, and they're starting to buy those positions also by pouring lots of money in whenever there is contention, and they are starting to put up their own candidates in the judiciary. It's something that the polity needs to watch very closely. On the GMO bit, I'm just absolutely amazed that out of the same legislature and the same legislative session, we could have two virtually identical issues: marijuana dispensaries and who should have control over deciding whether we should have a marijuana dispensary in a given area, which is in fact in contravention of federal law, and GMOs, and who should have control over allocating what kind of seed can be put where. And it seems to me that the decisions were exactly opposite if you look at everything else that goes on in the state system. For example, OLCC controls the sale and distribution of alcohol, a state function. And in this case, they punted on dispensaries and denied the people a voice locally on whether they would allow GMOs to come in or not. And the only thing I can say about that, it's pretty obvious that we got the best legislature that money could buy.
All right. Interesting perspective there, and well said, Paul. Appreciate that. So, yeah, when you think about it, these are opposites. With marijuana dispensaries, the legislature said the local communities can go ahead and decide what they want to do. And what they ended up doing was largely saying, we don't want dispensaries in our cities. More than 100 Oregon cities and counties voted against dispensaries. On the other hand, the legislature said it will not be up to the counties to decide what happens with GMO. And yet Jackson County's measure was grandfathered in and passed again by a 2-to-1 margin. We will wait to see what happens with that. Josephine County's measure again passed. The other point that Paul brings in was the unopposed members of the judiciary running. And I just counted between Oregon Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, and Oregon Tax Court, 8 different positions all unopposed for the judiciary. Those are all nonpartisan races and probably the ones that people pass by on their ballots, because not a huge number of votes on a lot of these. When you look, for example, at the fact that, let's say Josephine County, for example, 14,000-15,000 people voted on these judgeships, even though there were just one person in them, as opposed to 24,000 voting on the county commissioner, position one in Josephine County. Simon Hare, the incumbent there in position one, he pulled in 45% of the vote, plus it looks like Mark Gatlin will be his opponent in a November runoff for that seat. Other stuff coming out of Josephine County, we did talk about the sheriff's races obliquely before. Gil Gilbertson, the sheriff of Josephine County, and Mike Winters, the sheriff of Jackson County, both ended up in second place in their respective races. The first place winners did not get 50% plus one, so there will be runoffs. It'll be Dave Daniel, the top vote getter in Josephine County versus Gil Gilbertson. In Jackson County, it'll be Corey Falls, the Ashland deputy chief, versus incumbent Mike Winters. Bob Sergi ended up third in Jackson County. Edward Vincent, third in Josephine County. What do you think? I mean, these are interesting votes on law enforcement positions, particularly interesting in Josephine County in the context of there also was a levy to fund the jail for 3 years that failed in Josephine County. So the idea of restoring some public safety services in Josephine County failed, as did the incumbent sheriff in getting his position back through the primary. He can still win it in November, but he didn't win it in the primary. Let's take some more calls from listeners. Let's go to N-Word in Ash Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, I don't know what I wanted to say. I forgot. But it was something about insidious democracy. I think when Pam was talking, that's when I called. And, you know, it's like you have a low voter turnout, I think, is indicative of the fact that most people are rather apathetic about all the cronies in government. You know, we have this redundant layers of government, you know, like, I mean, county, all these things, all these people you don't know, all these names, you know, all these sheriffs and all these commissioners, you know, all these people, you know, they're supposed to be for you, but you don't even know who they are. And then you read about how corrupt things are in the paper sometimes, where they, you know, just different things, you know, and it's like, well, what would our country be like if we actually followed the 1789 Constitution? You know, if we actually instilled responsibility into young people rather than rights, and you know, just kind of turned the page and established a Republican form of government with representation in proportion to taxation and population growth rather than this dark age insidious democracy where might makes right. You know, it's like we have this grab bag of who gets what and how much, but nobody knows how much is enough.
It's a system that frustrates a lot of people. You're not alone, Edward. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jim in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Yeah, very quickly, your comments on the Cover Oregon thing. I think the problem is when they set up that boondoggle thing, they forgot that Oregonians, no matter if they live in Portland or out in Lakeview, they are individuals, very independent individuals. Probably at the most 30% of the people that would be applying for it were really internet articulate. If they would have put about a third of that money into having, you know, trained volunteers, just meeting with people and finding out what they felt, underline felt, that their needs were, I think that the whole thing would have been far less of a problem. But they counted on so much of just people who had only used the internet for, well, personal blah, blah, blah stuff, you know, Craigslist, seeing how their grandchildren were doing and all this. That's not, you know, face-to-face and independent individual people is how you get something like that straightened out.
Which is what ended up happening in a lot of cases with the paper applications.
Yes, afterwards, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Jim. Appreciate that. And, you know, it's not just my analysis, I should point out, because it's been quite clear from advertising that went on in Dennis Richardson's primary campaign to win the Republican nomination to run for governor against John Kitzhaber that Cover Oregon was going to be an issue. And they have said as much. Obviously, now he's got the power of the state Republican Party behind him as the nominee, the power of national Republicans behind him as well. Cover Oregon will be an issue in this campaign. It'll be curious to see how much it sticks as the year goes by, particularly as Oregon moves out of the Cover Oregon web portal and moves on to healthcare.gov. That will remain to be seen what the effect will be months down the road. Final call here from Jeff in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Just a quick question, a quick thing on the GMOs. If everybody in Medford County or Jackson County was grandfathered in, shouldn't we be able to vote as we did at saying no GMOs, but can we vote on designation where they can go instead of people getting sued by the GMOs? Can we turn the tables and say the GMOs get sued if they cross-pollinate private farms?
In other words, if GMO pollen comes onto a non-GMO farm?
Yes, and it's their fault because it's their material. So to destroy somebody's organic farm, I think they should be held reliable so we can beat the other measure that was passed by all the money people up north.
That would be a question for the courts to decide, and I think we'll probably find out down the road where that goes, because certainly there's a lot more tension on GMOs. A whole country was watching what happened with Jackson County's vote. Jackson County, again, 2-1 in favor of a ban on GMO crops inside the county. Legally binding in theory. Josephine County's a little less clear because of the fact that the Oregon legislature preempted other county votes, but Josephine County's went up 58% to 42%. It was a busy election day. There'll be a lot more to talk about down the road. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.